Sunday, October 17th, 2021. Our scriptures this week are Proverbs 16, 1 through 9, Mark 10, 17 through 31, and Mark 10, 35 through 45. Our message today is titled Ambition. Please open your Bibles and read along from Proverbs 16, 1 through 9. To man belongs the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. The Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for the day of disaster. The Lord tests all the proud of heart. Be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for. Through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. When a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. Better a little righteousness than much gain with injustice. For in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Our first gospel reading is from Mark 10. 17 through 31. As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all these I have kept since I was a boy." But Jesus looked at him, and he loved him. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for a rich to enter into the kingdom of God." The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, "Who then can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God." Peter said to him, "We have left everything to follow you." "I tell you the truth," Jesus replied, "no one who has left home or brother or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last. The last will be first." Our second reading in the Gospel of Mark is Mark 10, 35 through 45. The request of James and John. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. And they replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink, or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with?" "We can," they answered. And Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink, and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." Well, when the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. And Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. But not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be the slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our scriptures today, they speak to us about ambition, the lack of or the abundance of, our need of it and its usefulness in our lives. What role it plays when one is trying to achieve righteousness, peace, purpose, and position in this life. So as followers of Christ, ambition, it begs us questions today, just as it did in the days of Jesus. Questions like, what motivates us? Or how can we help others to have ambition for a more life-changing, purposeful, and successful walk with Christ? Well, according to Webster's Dictionary, the noun ambition is described as drive or aspirations. Its meaning is a strong desire to do or achieve something, typically requiring determination and hard work. So before we begin looking at our gospel reading today, I would like to start with a couple of stories about the dangers of ambition and its rewards. So in the backwoods of the Appalachian Mountains, you don't see too many people hand gliding, but old Zeke decided to save up and get a hand glider. He goes to the highest mountain, and after struggling to get to the top, he gets ready to take flight. He takes off running and reaches the edge, and off into the wind he goes. Well, meanwhile, Ma and Pa Hex are sitting on the porch swing and talking about the good old days when Ma spots the biggest bird she'd ever seen. "Look at the size of that bird, Pa," she exclaims. Well, Pa stands up. "Get my gun, Ma." Well, she runs into the house, brings out his pump shotgun. He takes careful aim. Bang, bang, bang. That monster-sized bird continues to sail silently over the treetops. "I think you missed him, Pa," she says. "Yeah," he replies, "but at least he let go of old Zeke." Well, that must have been a surprise to old Zeke to end his glider flight like that. But you have to admire him for his ambition and his desire to achieve something that he aspired to do. Well, old Zeke, he was the exact opposite of a certain wild duck I heard about. This duck, he could fly high and far, traveling hundreds of miles in glorious freedom above the landscape. But one day, he landed in the barnyard. There, life was less exciting, but easier. He didn't have to scramble for food, and when the weather was bad, he could take shelter in the barn. The duck began to eat and live with the tame ducks, and gradually, he forgot how to fly. He became fat and lazy. In the spring and fall, however, as the wild ducks flew overhead, something stirred inside this wild duck. But he could no longer rise to join them. You know, there's a poem about this duck, and it ends with these lines. He's a pretty good duck for the shape he's in, but he isn't the duck that he might have been. So how many of you are like that duck? Have you given up on what you aspire to be because it required too much hard work or determination? Your drive and aspirations have flown the coop. Your ambition to be Christ-like is lacking. Well, in our gospel reading, the request of James and John, Jesus' disciples, James and John, one day asked him for a favor. They asked him to allow them to sit on his right hand, his left hand in glory. In other words, they wanted the best seats in the house, places of honor and prestige. But they wanted to be appointed to these choice places, not because they had earned them or deserved them, but because they had influence with the boss's son. You know, does that sound familiar? Well, Jesus said to James and John, "You don't know what you are asking. Are you able to drink from the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism which I am baptized?" Well, in other words, he was asking, are you willing to give your all as I am giving my all to see my kingdom established? But to their credit, James and John, they answered, "We can." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or my left hand is not mine to grant." Now, it's easy for us to criticize James and John for their ambition. Their peers, the other 10 disciples, certainly made their feelings known about their request. But notice that Jesus doesn't criticize them. It doesn't seem to bother Jesus at all that their ambition, aspirations, was to fly a little higher like old Zeke. Jesus knew that ambition can be a good thing, and Jesus simply needed to refine their ambition. So in our gospel reading of the rich young man, this guy definitely had ambition. We could see that in the drive he had and his aspirations to inherit eternal life. It seems that his hard work and determination had left him still wanting more, and that he was not willing to give up the rewards his ambition had already gained him. He was like the duck trapped in the luxuries of the ease of life. That's the same trap many today find themselves. Our government has enabled them to stay home and receive more than they had previously earned. They're ducks in a barnyard who have let go of their ambition, their drive and aspirations, to have a purposeful, fulfilling life because of fear. And likewise, as Jesus did with James and John, Jesus didn't criticize his ambition. Instead, he loved him and instructed him of his need to refine his ambition. In the parallel story of the request of James and John in Matthew, it says that the inquiry came from their mother. Perhaps a version of the story that intended to spare the disciples full responsibility for the request. Well, the mother of James and John, sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus for their sons. And she knelt respectfully to ask a favor. Probably because, as many believe, she was a sister of Jesus' mother Mary, or his aunt. A close family relationship could have prompted her to make this request for her sons. You know, parents naturally want to see their children promoted and honored, but this desire is dangerous if it causes them to stand in the way of God's specific will for their children. God may have different work in mind for them, perhaps not as glamorous, but just as important. Parents' desires for the children's advancement must be held in check as they pray that God's will be done in their children's lives. I'm reminded of a time when a mother came to me concerned about the ambitions of her son, or rather the lack thereof, and the path he was headed. She wondered if I would speak to him about his direction in life. So I told her I would. So one Sunday morning, after our worship service, I caught him at the door as he was leaving, and I asked if we could talk before he headed home. And he rather hesitantly waited patiently while the rest of the people exited the church. In starting our conversation, I asked him, "Do you ever think about the direction of your life? You know, where you're going?" His response was, "Well, lunch." I guess my ambition needed a little refining. Well, sometimes those who love us most, especially mothers, try to help us refine our ambitions and confront us with the decisions we make. Jesus certainly did. Jesus applauded the rich young man's ambition and the disciples by encouraging them to understand the dangers and the rewards of ambition and the need of ambition in our lives today. Hear these words of Jesus again. "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. With man this is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." In Mark 10:29-31, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mothers or fathers or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age." You know, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and one of them, persecution. And in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first. And Jesus also reminded them and us today, by practicing what he preached, and teaching us that the greatest ambition, our aspirations, our drive, we can and should have is the one of service to others. Remember these words of Jesus in Mark 10:42-45. "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them, but not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. What motivates your ambition? Is it the fear of the Lord? Does your ambition help others to have ambition for a more life-changing, purposeful, and successful walk with Christ? Whenever ambition drives you or inspires you to take action, I encourage you to open your Bible and read the words of the wisdom from Solomon. That what each of us need to know about refining, purifying, and improving your ambitions. Read those words again from Proverbs 16, 1 through 9. To man belongs the plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the reply of the tongue. All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. For the Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for the day of disaster. The Lord detests all the proud of heart, and be sure of this, they will not go unpunished. Through love and faithfulness, sin is atoned for, and through the fear of the Lord, a man avoids evil. So when a man's ways are pleasing to the Lord, he makes even his enemies live at peace with him. Better a little with righteousness than much gain with injustice. For in his heart a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. We all have ambition. And to what end does it bring us? That's the real question. Does your ambition motivate you to serve others? Does your ambition need refining, purifying, and improving? Think on it and pray about it. Well, I have a plaque in my office that always reminds me to not get carried away with my ambition. It reads, "Fill my mouth with worthwhile stuff and nudge me when I've said enough." Well, in his service, this has been Pastor Joe.